Well, I'm Charles, and I love to talk. I understand that some of you have time bracelets on. I'll try to get you out before your time expires. So God be with us. My pastor, Pastor Martin, to the rest of you, I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be here anytime I come here. And it disturbs me on the nights when I can't be here. I want to ask you a question before I get started here. How many of you have ever been in the pit of despair and discouragement? I think we've all been there. But the thing is, in spite of being in the pit of despair, we try to live our lives in a moral and ethical and a religious fashion by the Word of God. But even in doing this, this does not mean that we won't have problems. As I was talking to this young man earlier here, I say most Christians fail to realize that just because they make a confession of faith and come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they haven't gotten around to accepting Him as Lord yet, but they accept Him as their Savior. But they fail to realize that 20 years from now, the same sins that was pulling on them before they met Jesus are still available to them. This is why Jesus, the Bible says that He would separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. And the reason is that as long as you walk in east, west is always behind you. No matter how far you walk, you'll never face west. You can go around the world, but you're still facing east all the way. But the thing is that the instant you stop and turn around, west is right there in your face. These things produces discouragement in your life. Let me tell you about a little bird that I heard this woman was talking about. She said she had a little bird. And this little bird sat in the cage and he sang all day long. He just gave joy to the whole household. And they were so happy and the bird was so happy. She said, but one day she was cleaning up and she decided that she would do the bird a favor and vacuum out the bottom of his cage. So as she put the vacuum coals in the cage, she dropped an attachment to the vacuum. And as she dropped this attachment, she reached over to pick it up and invariably put the vacuum up and she heard something go, and the bird was gone. She became frantic. She opened the vacuum bag. She looked through the dust. She cleaned the little bird off. She wiped his beard and cleaned out his eyes and put the little bird back on his perch. But the bird had lost his song. He never sang again. Now the question is, how many of you have lost your song? How many of you don't sing anymore because of discouragement? And discouragement is a thing that's common to human beings. Because if things don't go the way you desire them to go, and if things don't go the way you would want them to go, you become a little discouraged over this. So, has the devil sucked you up in some dark vacuum? That's the question. Has the devil caused you to lose your song? I'll tell you that most of us have been down in the devil's dark vacuum. The devil's done his best to get you discouraged. And discouragement comes to the best of us. He's done his best to get you to give up and quit. He's done his best, but his best is not good enough. Because we serve a God who's greater than any devil. The devil might suck you up, but God fixes it so you can keep coming back. The scripture says, seven times shall a righteous man fall, and seven times shall he get up again. My mother used to ask me all the time, she'd tell her about some problem I had in school or on the playground or someplace. She said, so when you get knocked down, what do? You lay there and wallow in the dirt, or do you get up and brush yourself off and start all over again? That's good. Some of us have been through something. And you're still suffering from what you went through. You're sorry for what you went through, but you can't go back and undo it. So you've got to suffer the consequences. And the consequences cause you to become discouraged. But in this discouragement, don't give up hope. Hope is looking at something that's going to happen. But stand in faith that it is happening. That's the big problem. When you come out of the devil's vacuum, when you come out of the devil's pit, you've got to clean out your mouth. You can't say the things you used to say. You can't use the words you used to say. These hyphenated four-letter words. You can't use those anymore. You've got to clean out your mouth. You've got to wipe your eyes. You can't watch that pornography anymore. You can't watch the scantily clothed women as they go in and out of the grocery store. You've got to turn your face away from that. You've got to wipe your eyes out. You've got to shake yourself. You've got to shake yourself like Samson shook himself to see if the spirit was still there. And then you've got to trust in the Lord. That's the bottom line. You can't afford to stay discouraged. Don't let the devil steal your song. Now, that little bird, he never sang again. He just got up on his little perch and just stared. I mean, she was shell-shocked. He was in shock. Some of us get shocked, and bad things do happen to us. But God wants you to sing again. God wants you to come out of the pit that the enemy has put you in. Now, the Psalms write in the 40th Psalm, and it says, that he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, and even praises unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. One of the reasons that you need to overcome discouragement and stand in faith and stand like you know what's going on is the fact that God will use you as a beacon to show other folks what he can do when you turn to him for help and for guidance. He said, this is what he did for Abraham. He took Abraham, who was a poor man down in the land of Ur, and the first thing he did was made Abraham a rich man. He made Abraham a rich man simply to prove to other folks that this is what God can do for you if you wanted to be to him what God, Abraham was to God. All God is looking for is a honest, upright person that he can put his faith in if you put your faith in him. He wants someone that he can trust. You don't trust anyone with your money if you were afraid that they were going to misuse it or lose it or steal it. So if you've got this kind of faith about your physical stuff, what more care does God have about your spiritual stuff? Don't stay discouraged. Discouragement is a killer. Some of us get sucked up when bad things happen to us. We get discouraged and we just want to give up. But God wants you to sing. God put a new song in your heart, but it's up to you to sing it. Now this says that God will open a door for you. He will give you tools to operate in the manner that he would desire you to operate. He will give you a task to fulfill. He will open a door for you to go to that task. But if you don't get up off of your stool to do nothing and go, nothing's going to happen. Amos said in the 10th chapter, he says, for God himself will do nothing. That means that God will give you the inspiration, but you're going to have to put some feet to that inspiration and take it to work. The devil will suck you up into a dark vacuum. So what? Troubles come. So what? That's normal for human beings. God is alive. So what if trouble has come? Our God is a living God. Our God is alive. Clean out your mouth. Wipe out your eyes. Brush yourself off and get ready to sing. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. That's gone. You can't do anything about it. Think about what I can do today to improve my tomorrow. How can I improve my tomorrow? By stop lingering and longing on things I did yesterday that I can't change anymore, but I can change my attitude and I can change my actions and I can go in a different direction. God hears your cry. When you cry unto him, God hears your cry. He heard me. So I know if he heard me, in the life that I was living, I know he can hear anybody. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You see, God hurt me and brought me out of the pit of despair. God hurt me and brought me out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. This is what David said. God heard David and God will hear you. But I've been knocked down, you say, into a pit. I've had the daylights knocked out of me. God still hears you, even in the pit. Your pit could be to you what Joseph's pit was to him. Joseph's brother put him in the pit to die. But in that pit was a pathway to the palace. The pit that you're in, if you allow the Lord to come to your rescue and bring you out of that pit may be the pathway to your palace. You don't know. If you don't try it, what can you expect? God will hear you and will bring you out of the pit. God sees you even though you don't see him. Now, let me give you some examples of people that got discouraged. See, Israel got discouraged because of the route that they were taking. Numbers 21 and 4 says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden, and the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. They got discouraged and they spoke. It's not anything wrong to get discouraged and to speak about the thing that you are discouraged about. That's not a problem. But get it out of your system and then do something about it. That's the thing. Sometimes people get discouraged because they have the wrong kind of words coming out of their mouth. I mean, they say they live at home, but they got plenty of discouraging words on the range. Joshua was told, let not these words depart out of thy mouth. What kind of words? Joshua was told, be strong and of good courage. Courage is the opposite of discouragement. What kind of words bought this courage? What kind of words kept Joshua strong? It was the commandments, the counsel, and the promises of God. It was God's words that were supporting and stopping his lips from speaking unsupported words. John the Baptist got discouraged. Matthew 11. If anyone should get discouraged, it would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist was there when he baptized Jesus. John the Baptist was there when the dove came down from heaven. John the Baptist was there when the voice of God spoke from heaven. He saw Jesus cast out devils. He saw him perform miracles and he saw him heal the sick. But when John the Baptist wound up in jail, he got discouraged and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he really was the Messiah. He was so discouraged and he questioned everything he knew. Are you that same kind of person? Do you question everything you know? Even when God is bringing you out, not by the way you thought that you would want to come out, because God does not work the way you think. God works the way he thinks. And God's way is so far above yours, the Bible says, that it is impossible for you to find it out. And the thing about God is that he uses the foolish things of this world to confound your wisdom. Has the devil captured you and put bars around you? Has he sucked you up in a dark place? Don't get mad at yourself just because you get discouraged. John the Baptist was a good example. He got discouraged too. Just don't stay discouraged. Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knew where John the Baptist was, and he began to brag on him. With John's disciples went back to tell him what Jesus had said, Jesus began to talk about how great John was and how there was none born a woman that was equal to John and John the Baptist. If you're discouraged today, remember God is probably bragging on you too. God probably is saying there's none like you. God knows you're going through, and he knows what you're coming through. You may be in the furnace, but you'll come out without the smell of smoke. You may be in the lion's den, but God will send an angel to lock the lion's jaw. Elijah got discouraged. Elijah was a man that stood on the hill against the armies of Ahab and declared fire from heaven. Elijah was a man that prayed and shut up heaven for 3.5 years. And then he was prayed again and caused rain to fall after 3.5 years. But Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he became discouraged in spite of his relationship with God. And he took off running and ran 20 miles. So if a man like Elijah can become discouraged and run, how can you stand? The Bible says if you can't stand with the foot, can't contend with the footmen, what are you going to do when the horses come? You can't do it. You're going to have to stand in confidence. You're going to have to stand with the idea that I am victorious because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Now, you can't do this just because you say it. You have to have a relationship with the man that gave you those words to say. And that was Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God in you and Jesus Christ working on your side, there is nothing in this world that you can't overcome. So you're in debt to the Allen County Court. Big deal. Are you the first one that ever did that? Are you going to be the last? Hundreds of thousands of other folks went through the process that you're going through. They came through, some became better people, and some never changed. The question is to you, are you going to use this as an explanation point in your life? And say, that's the end of that particular facet of my life. From henceforth, I'm going to write a new chapter. And the new chapter is going to be on my ability to disregard the discouragement that held me down for so long. And now I'm going to rise up in faith. And I'm going to rise up in understanding. And I'm going to say to myself, I'm good enough to do that. Don't condemn yourself if you've been discouraged. Maybe you see great things like falling into the fire. Perhaps you've had mighty victories in your life. Then you get discouraged. Quit beating yourself up over it. Quit crying over it. Clean out your mouth. Wipe your eyes. Dust yourself off and start to sing. David got discouraged. God called David an apple after his eye. He said David was a man that he could trust with anything. David went out to war. And while he was gone, the enemy came in and killed the people in the village and took all of the women and the wives. When the army came back and found out what had been done in the city, they turned on David and they wanted to kill him. David had nobody to turn to because everybody was against him. But David encouraged himself. How did David encourage himself? He encouraged himself by remembering what God had promised him, by remembering all of the things that God had done for him, and by remembering who God was. So what I'm saying is, everybody was against David. But if you don't have anybody to encourage you in the situation you're going through, encourage yourself. Can you do that? David was almost ready to give up. He had been anointed to be king over Israel, but now he was discouraged. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and 72 hours later, David was king of Israel. It was his darkest hour. He was greatly distressed. He could have given up. He could have just quit. He could have just said that prophet Samuel didn't know what he was talking about. I'm not fit to be a king. It was the most discouraging moment of his life up to that point. But 72 hours later, he was sitting on the throne. Can you praise the Lord this evening? Can you give him thanks for what he's done for you so far? So you're going through something. But do you realize that when you raise your hands in praises to the Lord, that your arms become antennas, while the praises go up and God's blessings come down. And when you stand in the blessings of the Lord, things may not open up right immediately, but it gives you an indication that you're headed down the wrong right road. And as you head down the right road, the further you go, the easier the journey gets. But you have to be careful, because the scripture specifically says, be careful when you stand and you think that you got it made, because sudden destruction is at hand. In other words, the enemy is always probing your armor, trying to see where he can get in. And if you give him a chink in your armor, he'll ruin you. Don't get discouraged, is what I'm saying. Discouragement is what brings down a lot of people. They get discouraged and they just give up and quit. And when they give up and quit, they just open up a super highway into their heart and into their spirit that the enemy uses to bring every damnation that he can get into you. The story in Matthew, where the man was clean and garnished and the thing that was in him went out looking for another place to visit. He couldn't find any place because everybody else was filled up already. So he came back to this man. And the Bible says the second state of this man was worse than the first. Why was it worse than the first? My thoughts are that the first, this man only had one problem. Let's assume that his problem was alcohol. So he got rid of the alcohol demon that was in him. And his alcohol demon went out and he couldn't find nobody else because everybody else was drunkards. So he came back to where he came from. But when he came back, he brought with him lying, cheating, stealing, whoremongering, gambling, everything that he could get hold of. And when this thing came back into this man, he had lived there, so he knew how to get back in. So when he came back in, he drove all his other stuff in with him. So now this man was content with 1,000 things that he never had before. So what I'm saying to you is when you become discouraged and you give up and you let down your guard, you're opening up a superhighway so that the enemy can enter your life and destroy you if you allow him to do that. But you can't afford to become discouraged. Be careful what you say when you're mad. You see, notice that Israel spoke against Moses. They didn't speak for him. When you get mad, when you get down, when you get discouraged, be careful. Because you'll say things that are emotionally charged and not things that are spiritually charged. It's easy to speak against others when you're down. They spoke against Moses. The preacher was the first one that they talked about. Listen, if you're discouraged, don't talk about the preacher. Don't blame him. He's on your side. Don't write him bad letters. He's on your side. Don't go complaining to your neighbors about him. He's on your side. If you can't say anything nice about him, keep your big mouth shut. Somebody said to me one day, they says, they were holding a conversation. They said, well, you're not saying too much. I said, you're right. That he always told me that you need to keep your mouth shut and let folks think you're an idiot, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. A lot of times we get ourselves in trouble because we open our mouth at the wrong time. Now, I want you to notice something. God gave you 2 feet. He gave you 2 arms. He gave you 2 ears. He gave you 2 mouths, 2 eyes. He gave you 2 nostrils, but he only gave you 1 mouth. That tell you something? That means that you're only going to talk as much as you do. And when you do, you don't have to talk about it because your doing will say everything that needs to be said. They spoke against God. How about that? How many times have you got discouraged and angry and you spoke against God? God, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you let this happen to me? How come this has happened to me? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, he gave something that was precious to him so that you could have an opportunity to be what he is. And you want to turn around and get angry with him. You become discouraged and somehow you think it's God's fault. Even if it was, why do you want to make him madder than he already is? Of course it's not God's fault, but how smart is it to speak against God? It's not a wise move. Listen, the Bible says God is for you. He's on your side. Don't blame God for your problems. You have not because you ask not, James 4 says to us. Don't talk about him, talk to him. Ask and you shall receive, Matthew 7 says. If you're discouraged, if you're upset, if you just find yourself in the pit of despair, what you need to do is you need to clean out your mouth, wipe out your eyes, dust yourself off, and stand up and sing. And when you begin to sing, you're not singing words that have music to it, but you're singing in the joyfulness of the Spirit that's in you, where you begin to cry out to God, not because He's God, but because of your afflictions. The children of Israel were in captivity, and they were in captivity because they had forgotten about God and went their own way. The Bible says that it was a time in Israel when everybody did what was right in their own eyes, and God raised up a captive nation and came in and captured them. And the Bible said that they stayed in captivity until by reason of their afflictions, they cried out to God. In other words, that they had not realized that they were in the problem that they were in because of their own actions and their own ability, they probably would have never cried out to God. But when they cried out to God, God was standing there with a red flag in their face all the time trying to get their attention. But when they realized that they did to themselves what they did to themselves, God came and rescued them. I'm telling you right now, some of you are in this situation because you did something to yourself. You became involved with a group that you weren't supposed to be involved with. You did something you weren't supposed to do. You said something you weren't supposed to do. You went somewhere you weren't supposed to go. And because of that, you had to pay the consequences of disobedience. So when you pay the consequences of disobedience, you have to remember what the book of Romans says. It says, for everything works for our good according to those that are called by God. So when you cry out to Him and He accepts you, you become one that is called by Him. And when you are called by Him and you arrive in a situation, then what you need to do is to have had some of this in you. When you have some Bible in you, when you come to a situation, instead of becoming discouraged because of the situation, what you do is you speak to that situation because of the scripture you've read, and you rely upon God in that situation to work in that scripture, and that problem now not become yours, but it become God, because God has to honor His word. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that discouragement is easy. But why let something that you can't control control you? Does it make sense? I've developed a philosophy in my life to where things that I can change, I work to change. Things that I can't change, I leave them alone. Because I know that the direction that I'm going, I'll either be tunneled through the changes that I can't make, or directed around them. But see, I don't worry about it, because the Bible tells me that when I come to this situation in my life and I can't overcome it, it says that I can speak to it and cause it to move out of my way. I hope I'm getting through to someone tonight to let you know that you're in a situation that can easily and does easily cause discouragement. But discouragement is not the end of the road. Discouragement is a gate in the wall of despair. When you open that gate, yeah, let me put it this way. You know, you hear people say that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. The reason they say this is because you've been struggling trying to come out of a situation that has you in despair. You're discouraged and you're troubled and you're struggling and you feel like that I'm just about to have a breakthrough. And just when you reach the point of a breakthrough, the enemy turns all hell against you to convince you that you can't get through that door. And that's what it means, that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Just before you have your breakthrough is when the devil hits you with his full armor. You need to be prepared. You need to get over this discouragement. You need to get confidence first in yourself. Then you have to get confidence in God. And the only way that you get confidence in yourself and confidence in God is that Ben has been talking to us over and over every week that you need this word. You need this book. You cannot operate in this book. Would you want to operate in this life without a God that can help you? Or do you want to operate in life with a God that gives you all the pleasure you want? It's your decision. As my TV program says, it's your choice. It's your choice because God does not intimidate you. God does not make you. God does not give you any unkind promises. All he says is that, you know, this is the one thing that I like about God. God does not say, I'm God, follow me. What he says that I'm God, follow me. But if you make a choice not to follow me, this is what you can look forward to. He sets two roads before you, gives you a chance for two decisions. And you stand there at the why of those decisions, and you make a choice. And when you start down either of those roads, the consequences for each of those roads has already been set down there. So when you get there and you realize that you're in trouble, don't blame mama, don't blame daddy, don't blame anybody. You made a choice to go down that road. And when you got to that road, the consequences was already there waiting on you. It's like being in this building if it's raining outside. As long as you're in this building here, you're safe from the water outside. The water wasn't designed specifically to get you wet. It was designed specifically to get anything wet that was in it. As long as you stay in this building, you're safe from the rain. But the instant you walk out that door into that rain will do what it was designed to do, and that gets you wet. That's the same way within God. As long as you stay in God, you'll stand encouraged. As long as you stay in God, you are victorious. As long as you stay in God, you are going toward the target that God has planned for you. But the instant you walk out of God, guess what's out there waiting on you? Death and destruction. I hope someone got something out of that tonight. I thought about this subject a long time before I broached it, but God has given me the understanding that there are some things that we need to talk about that we don't hear all the time. You don't hear the fact about encouragement. They tell you that if you don't stop drinking, you're going to hell. They tell you if you don't stop this, you're going to hell. That's great, you are. But have they ever told you how to stop drinking and how to stop doing those things? God says, you can do it. I place within you the ability to do anything you want to do. If you want to continue in sin, that's your choice. If you want to put a stopping point on your life right now and change directions, that's your choice too. And God says, I'll give you the power to do either one because I've given you that within you. There's a part of me that I placed in you upon the day of creation when Adam and Eve was put in the garden. There's a part of me that was placed in Adam and Eve that through the years have been passed genetically through every individual on the face of the earth. So you have the ability to do right or to do wrong. The question is, right at this moment, what decision will you make?